Oh, just lovely. The Edmonton Symphony Orchestra, led by Yuri Meyer, with Herbert Hamilton Hardy's A John Field Suite, the slow waltz known as Remembrance, which lends well to where we're headed next. You're with the New Classical FM. Let's get to our daily look at arts and culture. For the last decade, the musical group The Holy Gasp has made music for fans of theatrical, darkly comical, genre-defiant entertainment, with instrumentation and personnel that changes regularly to meet the needs and vision of each new project. The group seeks to find the intersections between music, literature, and performance art. Now, July 1st, The Holy Gasp will congregate at the Kiever Synagogue in Kensington Market for a live stream performance of Grief. It will be performed from sunset to sunrise without break and is intended as a communal mourning ritual for those who have lost a loved one. The concept and execution of Grief has been in the works for over 2 years by Holy Gasp frontman Benjamin Hackman. Originally, it was planned as an outdoor performance with a 30-person choir, but the concert, of course, has been scaled back due to the pandemic. It will be conducted by Maestro Pratik Gandhi, and the choral work will feature 10 vocalists, 2 pianists, and percussion. It will be performed in both English and American Sign Language. Joining me on the phone is the frontman for this evolving performing arts group, Benjamin Hackman. Welcome.
Hello. Thanks so much for having me.
Before we get into this performance that's happening in a few weeks, when you put the Holy Gasp together, gosh, almost a decade ago, what was the call you were answering? What did you want to offer the world artistically that maybe you saw there was a hole to fill there?
You know, I've sought to fill a number of holes since the beginning of the Holy Gasp, and many of the visions have changed considerably, as one does over the course of 10 years.
Of course,
so.
Yeah.
I started my arts practice as a poet, and I was fundamentally interested in what words could do in the process of telling people's personal narratives. I got a little bit bored of working alone, and I thought, well, the natural evolution of poetry for a person who wants to work with other people and collaborate might very well be through song and composition, and it all kind of just grew from there. And
it's been very varied. I mean, just looking at the career, you've been able to really change it up, like I said off the top, with each project, just sort of a collective group of artists that are at the ready for you.
Yeah. It's nice, and it keeps it interesting to keep switching things up, and it's exciting for me to work with new instrumentation and to try and figure out what different instruments and different combinations of instruments and people can do.
Let's talk about Grief. And first off, my sympathies for really a lot of loss in your life over the last few years. You've had to endure a lot. Was this personal challenge what fueled what we're going to experience on July 1st?
Yeah, it was definitely the impetus and the inspiration for Grief. Yeah, I appreciate your sympathies for your listeners. A lot of people in my life over the course of a number of years died, and this includes my father, my psychotherapist, my oldest friend in the world, and mourning people concurrently creates a very complex notion of grief. And what I found to be the case was that people just did not know how to speak about it with me. They meant well, everybody meant well, but it's awkward to talk about death, and there's not enough narrative in our culture or instruction for people for how to speak about death and grief and mourning process, both for ourselves, but also for our friends and our loved ones. And as I was looking around throughout history, one thing that I was very eager to find was representations of complex concurrent mourning in literature and art. And there aren't too many examples, but I took a great deal of solace in the Book of Job, which seems to be the one that most people discover when they look hard enough for it. And there's a passage in Job after Job's children have been killed and his livestock have been killed, where there's always one messenger that comes running to Job and says, you know, your children were eating in the house of their eldest son, and a mighty wind struck the house, and I alone survived to tell you. And I was struck by this idea of somebody's sole purpose being to have lived only to speak of those who died. And from that passage of the Book of Job, I crafted this very short lyric for grief. And it just kind of built out from there.
So if we tune in, theholygasp.com, the night of the performance, what are we going to experience? How is it going to unfold?
Mm-hmm. So we'll be watching a live stream event of a performance in the round. So the cameras will be circling the ensemble all night. We'll have two pianists, a bass drum player, a snare player, and then they will be surrounded by 10 vocalists, one of whom is deaf and will be performing the lyrics in sign language. Mm. In the center of that circle, I will be standing with a large scroll into which the names of the dead have been inscribed. And as the performance unravels, the ensemble will perform the same 8 bars of music infinitely, theoretically, and I will read the names of the dead. We will consider the performance complete only after the sun has come up and every name has been read.
And I'll point people to the website again, theholygasp.com, and that's where people can sign a name to the database right there of a loved one or a friend that they've lost, and you will read that name.
Absolutely. Every name that's being entered into the database of the dead will be handwritten into the scroll, and that's where I'm getting these names. And I want to encourage listeners, don't just enter one name. Enter anyone in your life who has passed. Enter your family tree. Enter the names of First Nations children who have died in residential schools. Enter the names of Black people who have been murdered by the police. Enter the names of artists that made an impact on your life. I've got about enough time to read 25,000 names. And if there is someone in your heart for whom you grieve, I will make it my business to say their name on people's behalf.
With that, with the way you're talking about the 8 bars repeating and with these names, it does sound very meditative, both for the audience and for you as a performer.
Definitely. Definitely. It's, you know, I'm borrowing from chanting, from mantra, from liturgical music, which is quite repetitive in nature. You know, it's a concert, but it's performance art and it's ritual. It's, you know, it's a number of kind of disciplines coming together. And it is intended to be meditative and repetitive.
The performance of Grief, July 1st, from sunrise to sunset, yes, you heard correctly, at the Kiewer Synagogue in Kensington Market. You can watch at theholygasp.com or the Holy Gasp Facebook page. And Benjamin Hackman, wonderful idea and a huge undertaking, and I know you had to change it and be malleable given the times we're in, so congratulations for going forward on this.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You're with The Oasis here on the New Classical FM.